الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد الحمد لله we continue بإذن الله تعالى with إغاثة الأحفان في مصايد الشيطان the book by Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى supporting the distressed from the plots of the shaytan. Last week we read and went through the affair of the two main or the two major trials, and that's the fitna to ash-shubahat and fitna to shahwat, the trial of deviance and misconceptions, and the trial of ash-shahwat, desires and whims. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the trial and the fitna of ash-shubahat, that this is indeed the more severe of the two. وَهِيَ أَعْظَمُ الْفِتْنَتَيْنِ It is the most severe and potent of the two trials. And no doubt the munasab and the suitability of Ibn Qayyim mentioning these affairs is that these are the from the doors that shaitan enters to cause a tashwish, to cause confusion, deviance away from the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attacks the son of Adam with these two fitnas of shubahat and the fitna of ash-shahawat. We studied fitna of shubahat last week, which pertains to the affair of bid'ah, shirk, kufr, deviance away from the straight path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Today, inshallah, we'll continue with where we left off last week, where Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and again, it's on page 900 onwards in the Ibn Jawzi print, or Ibn Hazm print, and it's the second volume, page 889 in the Ibn Jawzi. So the first one is Ibn Hazm, page 900, and Ibn Jawzi is page 889. He says, Rahimullah ta'ala, وَأَمَّا النَّوْعِ الثَّانِي من الفتنة فتنة الشهوات. As for the second type of trial, major trial, that is the trial of desires and whims. So he's mentioning now this particular type of trial, the desires and whims. And no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the shahawat, has mentioned the desires in the Quran. And that is from those affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed given the son of Adam, from the desires of marriage and the desire of food and the desire of wealth, and other than those desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed given to man. And he mentions in his Quran, in his statement subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al Imran, verses 14 and 15, where he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُنْقَطَّرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ وَالْمُصَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. Where he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, beautified for the people is the love and the desire, the love of that which they desire, the love of that which they desire. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ This is what has been given to people, man. Of women, number one, and children, number two. Gold and silver, number three. Riding beasts of horses and stallions, number four. And cattle, and land, number 5 and 6 respectively. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ مْتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, and that is the enjoyment of worldly life. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَعَابِ, but that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best return, meaning that which is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is pertaining to the affair of the hereafter, is indeed the best return. So no doubt we have these shahawats and these desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to man. And Allah has mentioned the first desire, and that's the desire of women, because this is the indeed the most biggest trial. This is the biggest trial for man. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that which was lesser in its potency as in the trial. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith, مَا تُرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the Sahih that there hasn't anything left after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a greater trial, more harmful trial upon the man than the woman. Now the way we understand this, barakallahu feekum, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed put into the man the desire for women and wealth and children and cattle, crops, estates and so forth. But how one treats those desires will show whether it is indeed a sin, destroy them, or it is indeed done in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that if the individual's desire for women is for zawaj, their desire is for marriage and protecting oneself from falling into sin, that they marry, and having children and having a companion that they can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remind each other about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mandubu ilayh. This is indeed encouraged. And that is if barakallahu feekum is done in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person has the love for women to marry them according to the legislation and look after them and build a family with them, this is indeed praiseworthy and encouraged. As we mentioned last week, as Ibn Qayyim himself mentioned the statement of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a couple of weeks ago, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ النِّسَاءُ وَالطِّيبُ وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي وَعَيْنِي عَيْنَي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Where he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that women have been made beloved to me and perfume, but that which indeed is a soothing to his eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the salah. So those, the desire for the shahwa that Allah has given to man for the woman, and likewise the desire for woman for the man, is if it's in accordance to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in marriage and so forth. But as for the one that loves and desires with the intent for fahisha and fornication and transgression and so forth, then this is a shahwa al-muharrama. This is indeed a desire that is now impermissible. And this is what is intended by the fitness of shahawat. When that desire is now indeed in the realms of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with it, there are legislation for the one who falls into this. For the one that is married, there is the capital punishment. And then the one that is a virgin but fornicates, then there is indeed corporal punishment. So there are legislations pertaining to this affair. And likewise with the wealth, which has been made, no doubt, a part of the desires, if it's with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving to charity and feeding one's family and looking after relatives, silat al-arham, keeping good ties by giving gifts and wealth and so forth to the families, and all the various angles of obedience, then this is mahmud mamduh. This is indeed praiseworthy, shara'an. It's a praiseworthy type of desire for wealth for this particular or these particular reasons. Barakallahu fiik. But as for if one gathers wealth and has their desires and their shahwa for wealth in order to have fakhar or khuyala, to have proudness and haughtiness and show enough with takabbur and for arrogance and to oppress the du'afa and oppress the weak and to be a tyrant to the poor, فَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَنْهِيُ عَنْ. This is indeed the shahwa of wealth, desire of wealth, that is prohibited. And likewise, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again on that in that verse regarding horses, barakallahu fikum, the same applies here. If it is done with the intent, barakallahu fikum, of aiding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion, and is done in order to travel with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, travel to visit your parents, travel to visit relatives and so forth as it relates to cars and so forth, and having a desire for these affairs of the dunya in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is no doubt again mamduh. This is praiseworthy and mandub, and this is indeed recommended to have this desire for these vehicles and so forth. But however, if it's done for time wasting and it's done just to, you know, play around, this is indeed something that is not advised. But if it's done to commit crime, theft, and is done to go and travel to that which is haram, then this indeed is from the shahwa again that is muharrama. It's from the desires that are indeed impermissible. So all of these affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed made for man to have desires for, it depends on their intention as it relates to their love and their desire for these various affairs of the dunya. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. As he says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 165, and he says, in order to test you with that which he gave you, with all those affairs, whether it's being your husband or your wife, that your children, barakallahu fikum, your locomotive, your beast, your cattle, your wealth, liyabluwakum fima atakum, to test you and trial you with that which he has given you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taghabun, verse number 15, innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitnatun wallahu indahu ajrun azim. Verily your wealth and your children are a fitna, they are trial. Wallahu indahu ajrun azim. And with Allah is indeed the mighty reward. Is indeed the mighty reward. But when the desires, barakallahu fikum, is for love of this dunya and to fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these shahawat is now muharrama. And this is what Ibn Qayyim is alluding to here as in fitna to shahawat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Where he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion, and adornment and boasting to one another, and competition in increase of wealth and children. An increase of wealth in children. And then he ends the verse saying, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And indeed, what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion, meaning that this dunya indeed will end and it's short. So the desires no doubt are there, but those desires should be geared towards obedience and not disobedience. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Where he said subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding those who left the salah, and that is due to shahawat, the leaving of the prayers due to the shahawat and following their whims and laziness and so forth. But there came after them, Surah Maryam, verse number 59, and there came after them successors who neglected the prayer and pursued desires. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and pursued desires. And this indeed is the desires and the shahawat that is indeed a trial and is a fitna. That is a trial and a fitna. And barakallahu feekum, when one reflects as it relates to this dunya, to this world, he realizes that in this world is sadness, and in this world is pain, and in this world is bleeding, and in this world is oppression. In this world are all of these things. So this cannot be the world and the abode that we should place our energy fully to, except for that which is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there isn't anything more beautiful in this world than reciting the book of Allah and reflecting in his verses and studying the deen of al-Islam and implementing the Quran and the Sunnah and learning aqidah and learning Sunnah, learning hadith, learning fiqh, implementing it, calling to it, commanding the good and forbidding the evil, reflecting upon the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reflecting upon the life of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and trying to benefit from that in this dunya. There isn't anything more beautiful, more tasty. There isn't anything more sublime in this world except for that. Barakallahu fikum. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the narration of al-Mustawrad and Mustawrad ibn Shaddad, al-Mustawrad ibn Shaddad radiyallahu anhu, in the hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma dunya fil akhirah illa mathala ma yaj'al ahadukum asba'ahu fil yam falyanzuru bima yarja'. Where he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this world, meaning its pleasures, the desires of this world and its duration, in comparison with the hereafter, is similar to the amount of water that one gets when he puts his finger in the sea. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put your finger in the sea and let him see what comes back with him. So when you put your finger in water, you dip your finger, just dip your finger in water, and what comes back and what remains on your finger when you dip it is the similitude of the world, this dunya. That's all this dunya is. That's all this dunya is. That little piece, that drop of water that remains in your finger when you've dipped in the ocean. When you've dipped in the ocean. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that. So therefore we have to reflect regarding our obedience to Allah and the sins and negligence as it relates to the salawat and the prayers. Negligence as it relates to giving zakat. Negligence as it relates to fasting. And negligence as it relates to obedience to our parents and being good to our parents. And negligence as it relates to being good to our neighbors. All of these affairs and the disobedience to Allah in these affairs is from the shahawat. Is indeed from the shahawat. خَلِّ الذَّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ تُقَى. As the poet said, leave sins, the minor of them and the major of them. ذَاكَ تُقَى. That is indeed righteousness. That is indeed righteousness. بَارَكَ فِيكُمْ. So this is the intent behind what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned. That's an issue that I myself and my dear beloved brothers and sisters need to reflect on as it relates to this dunya. And our time in this dunya should be used in the obedience of Allah. We're wasting our time in this dunya by disobeying him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no doubt in this dunya is a struggle and it's a trial. And fighting the whims and fighting the desires. as is mentioned in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huffatil jannatu bil makarih wa huffatil naru bil shahawat. Huffatil jannatu bil makarih wa huffatil naru bil shahawat. In this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is again in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that paradise is surrounded by hardships, meaning the difficulties in this dunya. This is indeed the route to pass those difficulties, is the route to Jannah. And the hellfire is surrounded by temptations and desires, fulfilling those desires, those whispers to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the surrounding grounds of the hellfire. But that which surrounds paradise is makarih, are those difficulties, those affairs that the individual has to strive to indeed distance themselves away from the disobedience, distance themselves from disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he mentions Ibn Qayyim barakallahu fikum on this page, وَقَدْ جَمَعَ سُبْحَانَهُ بَيْنَ ذِكْرَ الْفِتْنَتَيْنِ. And he now mentions a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed mentioned both trials, the trials of the doubts and shubahat and deviance that we studied last week, and that which we have mentioned today and studied today from the trials of desires and whims. Allah mentions this in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 69. Both of these trials are mentioned in this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, كَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كانوا أشد منكم قوة وأكثر أموالا وأولادا فاستمتعوا بخلاقهم فاستمتعتم بخلاقكم كما استمتع الذين من قبلكم بخلاقهم وخضتم كالذي خاضوا أولئك حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة وأولئك هم الخاسرون. وهي said سبحانه وتعالى, and like those who were before you, they were stronger than you. They had more strength than you, and they had more wealth than you. They had more children than you. They had more dunya, meaning they had more dunya than you. فَاسْتَمْتَعُوا, and they reveled and enjoyed their worldly affairs. فَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ, and you too enjoying your worldly affairs, meaning at the expense of the akhirah. كَمَا اسْتَمْتَعَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, like those who before you enjoyed their worldly affairs and the worldly enjoyment. وَخُطْتُمْ, so that first part here is a shahawat, meaning the shahawat is the desire of fulfilling the enjoyments of this world and focusing solely on the dunya and indulging in the affairs of the dunya and worldly affairs, in boasting of wealth, boasting of children, and so forth. This is the shahwat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَخُطْتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا أُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. خُطْتُمْ, you indulged in falsehood. كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا, like those who indulged in falsehood. This is the fitna of the shubahat. This is the fitna, the trial of deviance, indulging in falsehood. The first one was indulging in the affairs of the dunya. So in this verse, in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 69, Allah has combined, barakallahu fikum, the two trials, the two major trials, the fitna to shubahat, and the fitna to shahwat. And indeed, He subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned how their hearts indeed were corrupted and their religiosity was corrupted due to these two affairs. Overindulging in their worldly affairs, meaning the shahawat, and indulging in falsehood, indulging in batil. And this is the facade of their deen. And this is what corrupted their religion. فماذا حصل؟ حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا. So therefore that these were null and void in this dunya and the hereafter. And they are indeed the losers. Those who have fallen to these two trials. Fitna to shubahat and fitna to ash-shahawat. So then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, after that he further mentions these two trials and the way that one can be saved and free from falling into these trials. He says rahimahullah ta'ala before that, he says that the first, meaning the fitna to shubahat, is regarding bid'ah. In this verse in Surah At-Tawbah, is regarding them khuttum, yani you indulged in falsehood, yani like bid'ah, innovation, barakallahu fikum. And the second is fisqul a'mal, corrupted deeds, falling into sins and so forth. And this is what is mentioned in this verse. It's a very potent verse, my dear brothers, and that's Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 69. And then he says, Barakallahu Fikum, he mentions a statement which has been mentioned by many of the ulama of the Salaf. He says, وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ يعني علماء السلف احذروا فتنة العالم الفاجر والعابد الجاهل فَإِنَّ فِتْنَتَهُمَا فِتْنَةٌ لِكُلِّ مَفْتُونَ. Where he said, Rahimullah, be careful of the trial of the corrupt, knowledgeable one and the ignorant worshipper, the corrupt, knowledgeable one, and the ignorant worshipper. And this statement by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala is mentioned by Al-Imam al-Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala in Shu'b al-Iman, in Shu'b al-Iman lil-Bayhaqi, volume 3, page 315, in Shu'b al-Iman by al-Bayhaqi, volume 3, page 315. And is also mentioned by Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Shu'ab again, volume 2, page 308. So it's a well-known statement. It's a well-known statement. And that is that the ihdhal fitnat al-alim al-fajir, a corrupt, knowledgeable person, and be aware of the corrupt, knowledgeable person, and be aware of and being from the ignorant worshipper. The person who's ignorant, they worship upon bid'ah and they fall into indeed deviances due to their jahl. And the person who knows and has knowledge as it relates to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet falls into barakallahu fikum sins and becomes a fajir and becomes a criminal and becomes indeed an individual that is oppressing himself by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he knows and when she knows, and they have knowledge as it relates to the ramifications of their actions. And then he says, rahimullah, wa aslu kulli fitna. He mentions now the origin of all trials. He says, the asl, the foundation of all trials, innama huwa min taqdimi ra'yi ala shar'a. He said, from the origin of all trials, number one, is by making one's opinion take precedence over the legislation. One's opinion and one's outlook taking precedence over the revelation. And then he says, وَالْهَوَى عَلَى الْأَقْلِ. And the second foundation he mentioned is one's allowing their desires to take over their intellect. Allowing their desires to take precedence over their intellect. So the first he mentioned was making one's opinion precedence over legislation. And this is indeed the fitna to shubahat. This is indeed the fitna of deviance. And the second is al-hawa ala al-aql, by making their desires and their whims take precedence over their intellect. Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, leading to punishment in the hereafter. Which individual with sound intellect and is indeed using that intellect will raise to the disobedience, raise to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raise to the path, or racing on the path to punishment in the hereafter. Who has indeed sound intellect and uses that intellect, except that they distance themselves from that? But then when the person allows those desires, those shahwat, those whims, to take precedence over the intellect, they fall into the fintatu shahwat. Showing the fiqh of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he says, al-aslu fitnatu, he said the first one is fitnatu shubahat, meaning making your intention, your opinion take precedence over the legislation and the revelation. And the second is aslu fitnatu shahwa, is the origin of the shahwa, and that is by making your desires take precedence over your intellect and reasoning. After this, barakallahu fikum, Ibn Qayyim, he goes to another section here where he says, fitnatu shubahat. Now he's going to talk about kayfiyatu daf'il fitnatain. So we can put a title here, being how to repel the two major trials. How to repel the two major trials. He says, rahimullah, that the way to repel the fitnatu shubahat, tudfa'u bil yaqeen. It is repelled by certainty, surety, knowledge, insight. Certainty, surety, knowledge, insight. Al-yaqeen. Wa fitnatu shahawat, and the trial of desires and whims, tudfa'u bis-sabr, is indeed repelled by sabr and patience. So the person who has yaqeen and certainty with knowledge and beneficial knowledge, it indeed repels the fitnatu shubahat, the trial of deviance. And the person who indeed practices a sabr, patience, it repels, barakallahu fikum, the fitna of the desires and whims. And we know that a sabr, patience, is of three categories. And the first of those is a sabr ala ta'ati Allah, is patience upon the obedience of Allah. Wa sabr an ma'siyati Allah, and patience in staying away from the disobedience of Allah. Wa sabr ala aqdari Allahi al-mu'lima, and that is being patient as it relates to that which may harm you, or that which you may feel pain, but yet you remain obedient to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and you have iman and trust in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it relates to that pain that you may feel. So then you exercise patience and you turn the pain into ibadah. You turn that pain that you feel into a sabr and being patient. The person who repels, the person who exercises patience will repel, barakallahu fikum, the shahwat. Because sabr, no doubt patience, is one of the deficiencies when that one individual has when they fall into sin. Because they want their pleasure in this dunya instead of having patience for the pleasure of the akhirah. So they're mustajileen, they're hasty to get the pleasures now. They're lacking the patience. So they want to fulfill their desires. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for them is whatever they want. وَلَدَيْنَ الْمَزِيدِ. In Jannah, for them is whatever they want. Whatever they desire in Jannah. وَلَدَيْنَ الْمَزِيدِ. And with us is something extra upon that which you desire. And that is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who exercises a sabr, patience, waits for the fulfillment of their desires in the akhirah, in the hereafter. But when the sabr that is lacking, patience that is lacking, you want to feel the desires now. You want the pleasures to be executed now. You want to feel it now. You want to enjoy it now. You want to do istimta' now. At the expense, barakallahu fikum, of the hereafter. And that is indeed the ill effects of not having sabr. Which is why Ibn Qayyim's kalam, which he was given and taught by his Sheikh, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, as he mentions in Madarij al-Salikin. So he continues, Ibn Qayyim, regarding these two affairs. Remember, to repel the misconception and doubts, it is done by certainty, surety, and insight, knowledge. And to repel the desires and whims that is haram is repelled by having patience and sabr. So then he says after that, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, لِذَلِكَ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ وَجَعَلَ سُبْحَانَهُ إِمَامَةَ الدِّينِ مَنُوطَةً بِهَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. He says rahimahullah, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an individual be an imam of the religion, an example, a good example for the people. Manutatan, it depends upon these two affairs. And that is having certainty and patience. Having surety and ilm and patience. These two affairs. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Sajda. In Surah As-Sajda, verse number 24. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمَا إِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. Where he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we made from them leaders, ru'asa, leaders, yani of obedience. Leaders of obedience, they're people, the main people of obedience. Yahduna bi'amrina, guided with our command. Lamma sabaru, so they were rewarded by being guided. Lamma sabaru, when they were patient. A.e. patient from falling into the fitnas of shahawat. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And they were individuals who had certainty with our verses. Yani ilm. So therefore Allah has mentioned both. The patience, yani to stay away from disobeying Allah. And yaqeen, to be firm upon the straight path. And indeed to have that basira and that knowledge. And that beneficial knowledge that keeps them on a straight path. Allah made them a'immah, those who had these two characteristics. Patience and certainty. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تُنَالُ الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. So therefore, this is a proof, barakallahu fikum, that with patience and certainty, one becomes an imam of the deen. And then after that, Ibn Qayyim amazingly brings some verses to show where shahawat and shubahat are mentioned in respect to yaqeen, certainty and patience, repelling them. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr." He mentions the first one in Surah Al-Asr. By time all of man are at loss, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, except for those who have iman, belief, and do good deeds. And then he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So here, تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, the people are not at loss. They are those who do تَوَاصِي بِالْحَقِّ. They are those who mutually advise each other with the truth. And this is yaqeen. This is with knowledge. Advising each other with truth, with knowledge of the truth. And having certainty and yaqeen regarding the truth. And with that, the fitness of shubahat is repelled. That's why they're not at loss. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they mutually advise each other with patience. And that there is the repelling of the fitness of shahawat. فَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ الَّذِي يَدْفَعُ شُبَهَاتِ. So they advise each other with the truth which repels the fitna of deviance. وَبِالصَّبْرِ الَّذِي يَكُفُّ عَنِ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Encouraging each other with patience which repels and puts a stop to the desires and following of the desires and whims. And that's in Surah Al-Asr that we've all memorized. That's in Surah Al-Asr. Where both the means of repelling the two main major trials is found. The means, and that is by barakallahu feekum, having certainty, yaqeen, and knowledge. and barakallahu fikum, advising each other, barakallahu fikum, with patience to repel the shahawat. And then he mentions another verse in Surah As-Sad, where it's combined again, meaning the means to repel the two major trials through yaqeen, certainty, and patience is mentioned in Surah As-Sad. In Surah As-Sad, verse number 45, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَذْكُرْ عَبَدَنَا or وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَهِيمُ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبَصَارِ. Where he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember our servants, our slaves, Ibrahim, Ishaq, and his son Yaqub, those who had strength, ulil aidi, those who had strength, that had quwwah, that had strength, meaning they had strength to stay away from the fitna and the trials of the shahawat. They had the sabr, they had the patience to repel it. Wal abasar, and they had indeed religious understanding and religious insight, and that is the yaqeen. And with these two here, the first being that they had this strength and this fortitude, meaning that they repelled the desires with that, and they had basira, and they had insight and knowledge and religious understanding, they repelled the following of deviances and misconceptions, yani the shubahat. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains what I've just mentioned. And then he mentions the statement of Ibn Abbas in radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he said, ulil quwwa, that they were people who had strength, fi ta'atillah, they were firm upon the obedience of Allah, staying away from sins. And this no doubt is the way that they repelled the shahawat, they repelled the desires, the whims of disobedience and falling into sins. Wal ma'rifa billah, and they had knowledge of Allah. They had knowledge of Allah's names and his attributes. They had knowledge of Allah's tawheed. They had knowledge of that which Allah sent. They had knowledge of the straight path. They had yaqeen. They had certainty, surety. They had knowledge, insight, and that repelled the shubahat, and indeed the fitna of the shubahat were repelled. And Kalbi rahimullah ta'ala, Ibn Qayyim mentions, أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ وَالْبَصَرِ فِيهَا. He said that they were people who were strong in their worship. And these are the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, that were mentioned, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, the Anbiya, the prophets. They were firm in their worship, in their servitude, in that they stayed away from the sins. وَالْبَصَرِ, and they had insight regarding servitude, and in that the deviance was repelled. And the deviance was repelled. And we have a statement from Qatada, rahimullah ta'ala, where he says, regarding the statement that Ibn Qayyim mentions here, regarding the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. He says, and we made for them leaders, meaning رُؤَسَى فِي خَيْرِ سِوَى الْأَنْبِيَاء. رؤساء في خير سوى الأنبياء. And that is that they were heads of good other than the prophets. Allah made them. Allah made them heads of truth, regarding the verse that we mentioned, barakallahu fikum, in Surah Sajda. Allah made them heads. Examples of people doing good. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, due to their patience. And Qatada mentions, يَهَدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, that they were guided. When they were patient, what did he say, Qatada? They were patient how? كيف? لِتَرْكِ الدُّنْيَا, because they left the worldly matters. They did not indulge in the worldly matters, so therefore they were patient and did not transgress, and did not go past the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed set. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, rahimullah ta'ala, that the kamal al-aql wa sabr tudfa'u fitnatu shahwa. So when a person has a complete sound intellect and they are patient, This repels the fitna and the trial of desires and falling into sins and disobedience. وَبِكَمَالِ الْبَصِيرَةِ وَالْيَقِينِ And with complete knowledge, insight, and certainty, تُدْفَعُ فِتْنَةُ الشُّبْهَةِ This will indeed repel the trial of deviance and falling into bid'ah, falling into the deviant paths, falling into the 72 sects, falling into those sects that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if says, تَفْتَرِقُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ إِلَى ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبِعٍ فِرْقَةٍ كُلَّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَى وَاحِدَةٍ That the Ummah will split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except one. من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. When he was asked who they were, he said, those who are upon what I'm upon today are my companions. So with basira and insights as relates to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insight as relates to tawheed, insight as relates to la ilaha illallah, insight as relates to aqeedah, and they have certainty which is built upon that, which the knowledge is built upon, they have that certainty, this repels the fitna and the trial of deviance. And with this we conclude, barakallahu fikum, the statement of Ibn Qayyim where he says, Wallahu musta'an, Wallahu musta'an. So we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid in repelling the trial of the shahawat, you know, the sins, and likewise, no doubt, foremost, the trial of the shubahat, trials of deviance and deviating from the straight path. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yuthabbitna jami'an, that he makes us firm upon his obedience and have beneficial knowledge, that knowledge which will indeed emanate in our tongues and our limbs and increase us in loving him subhanahu wa ta'ala and yearning for the hereafter. Ameen. Hatha wallahu a'lam. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين The brother's asking a question as it relates to the importance of seeking knowledge and taking knowledge from the people of the Sunnah. No doubt, the heart is something which we have to preserve and we have to look after and treasure our heart, because indeed the heart is the captain of our limbs. The heart is indeed the leader of our limbs. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha fasada fasada jasadu kullu, wa idha salahat salaha jasadu kullu, wa kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala wa hiya al-qalb." He said that there is a flesh in the body. If it's corrupted, the whole body is corrupted, and if it's healthy, the whole body is healthy, and that is the heart. And knowledge and the aql and the intellect is in the heart. So the knowledge that we take will enter into our hearts. So therefore we have to be jealous and strict on who we allow to enter our hearts and what we allow to enter our hearts. And we only allow the knowledge of that which is pleasing to Allah to enter into our hearts, so that our limbs no doubt will follow suit and not be corrupted with the fitna and the trials of shahawat or shubahat. So we seek knowledge with the people who are the doctors of the heart, the people who indeed teach you the knowledge that will nourish that flesh, that heart, that mudra, so it can be saliha, so it can be pure and clean. And that is indeed, barakallahu fikum, the doctors are the scholars, and before them the prophets. And the scholars inherited from the prophets, alayhim salatu wasalam. So we take knowledge from the people of the sunnah, the ulama and the scholars of the sunnah. And if we are not able to get in touch with the people of knowledge, we take knowledge from those who are known to take from the scholars. and we are jealous to who we take knowledge from. We don't open our ears to every single person that claims to speak about Allah, or that claims to speak about the Sunnah, or claims to speak about Islam. We verify on who they are. Barakallahu feekum. We don't allow our ears to fall upon them, because the ear is the avenue to the heart. The ear is the avenue to the heart. The heart could get corrupted by listening to one sitting of someone who is in opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah. So we have to indeed be jealous and stringent on who we take knowledge from. As the Salaf, they used to say, إِنَّ هَذَا عِلْمُ الدِّينِ Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, Rahimullah, إِنَّ هَذَا عِلْمُ الدِّينِ فَانْدُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. That verily this knowledge is religion. Be jealous of your religion. This knowledge is religion. So look to whom you take your religion from. Look to whom you take your religion from. Let's look at this another similitude. If you wanted to eat, would you eat in anybody's house? Would you eat in somebody that is unknown? You don't know the ingredients that they cook. You don't know what they put in the food. You don't know who they are. Total stranger that you are unaware of who they are. You're not going to be so trusting. Would you allow your business to be in the hands of somebody that you don't know? Would you even do business with somebody who you haven't verified? Of course, you're going to be cautious. So therefore, if we are cautious as it relates to the food that we eat, and we're cautious as it relates to the people who we entrust with business and so forth, why are we not jealous and strict regarding to the people who we entrust our hearts with? The people who we entrust our hearts with. This is indeed far more serious and severe than the food that we eat, than the, barakallahu feekum, money that we earn. As Imam Ahmad rahimullah ta'ala, he mentioned that we are ahwaj ila al-ilm min al-ta'am. Wa kama qala rahimullah, that we are more in need of knowledge than food. Because knowledge is indeed that which enters into the heart and emanates in our limbs. And with it we gain love of Allah if that knowledge is correct and authentic. So therefore, my advice to my beloved sister who asked, or brother, is that we seek knowledge from those who are well known, from the scholars who are upon the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the methodology of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiyallahu anhum, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, upon that path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. And they are people with good etiquette, good manners, and they implement the sunnah in their tongue and in their limbs and in their aqidah and their belief. We take from them. So ask before you take. Ask before you take. You just don't take without asking. You ask before you take. This is good manners. So ask before you take knowledge. Ask before you take knowledge. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.